Hello, everyone. I'm Sejal Patel. Welcome to Strictly Money Weekly Insights. I want to thank you for being here and for being a loyal listener. I do this show because I believe financial wisdom is the key to wealth and wellness. So thank you for tuning in and for helping me make financial wellness go viral. I often say that anyone can slap together a few stocks and say they are an investor. And that's exactly what gets them into a whole lot of trouble. I've been in the financial industry for a long, long time, more than 20 years. I've made my share of investing mistakes. Now, nothing disastrous, thank God, but enough for me to question my approach. And I've certainly seen others make mistakes. You learn a lot after the fact. Like, you think twice about taking that stock tip without doing your own homework. I've been there. Check. Or you think that you can time the market. Ugh, but you can't. I've been there too. Check. I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I and millions of others have, not if I can help it. So today, I'm going to share what I believe are some of the most common investing mistakes and how you can sidestep them. Mistake number one. One of the biggest mistakes I witness over and over again is when people think investing is too risky. Now, I work with a lot of women, and for some reason, women far more than men tell me this. You know, I ask them, hey, are you investing? What are you investing in? And they say, oh God, no, it's too risky. Or I know so-and-so who lost everything. Or I once lost money and I'll never do it again. So let me clear up all these misconceptions one by one. First, we have all heard stories of people who lost money in the stock market or in crypto or something else. And I'm going to tell you something. I can almost guarantee the people who lost a lot of money didn't follow simple, basic rules when it comes to investing. I can guarantee that they took too much risk because they were getting greedy and that they wanted to make a fast buck. Or they jumped in after taking that hot tip from a friend and had no clue what they were buying or if it even suited them. Or they went all in on one stock, again, taking on too much risk. Or they panicked and they sold out of their position once crap hit the fan. Here's what you need to understand. Not all investments go up, and they don't all go up at the same time. That's why diversifying your portfolio is important. Because even if one or two don't perform the way you'd hope, maybe four or five will. Maybe they'll do okay. And you might see two or three of your investments hit home runs. The second thing that you need to understand is that you don't actually realize a loss until you sell that investment. Now, it can be a loss on paper, but it's not an actual loss until you pull the trigger and you unwind your position. So when people say they lost money, I always have to get clarification. So what do they mean by that? Did they lose money in that one stock or the entire portfolio? Did they even give it enough time to recover? And did they actually realize the loss because they sold it? Now, do you take some risk when investing? Yes, investments fluctuate in price. That's why the potential reward is better than keeping your money in a saving or checking account. It's why you're compensated through potential profits and interest and dividends, depending on what you buy. Stock markets correct, but you know what else they do? They also rebound. Since 1950, the S&P 500 has seen a market correction, which is a drop of 10% or more from a recent closing high, 38 times. The S&P 500 index has crashed, meaning it has fallen more than 20% on 12 different occasions. The average stock market price decline during that crash was around 33%. And the average length of a market crash is around 340 days. Painful? Yes. But does patience pay off? Absolutely yes. You see, it takes on average 2 years for a recovery. And that recovery is almost always leading to higher prices. I'll give you an example. If you invested $100 in the S&P 500 at the beginning of 1950, you would have made about $262,000 by the end of 2023, assuming you had reinvested all dividends. So that is a return on investment of 11.3% per year. Can you earn that in a savings or checking account? No. This is why patience, like I said, is important and why you need to take a long-term approach, at least 4 or 5 years, if you're going to play with riskier assets. Now, if you're still not convinced that investing is important, let me help you reframe how you think about it. Not investing is more risky. It's true. Not investing is more risky. Unless you're making so much money that you've got a lot of excess savings that's going to cover your 25 or 30 year retirement when your salary stops, unless your income is keeping up with rising expenses and inflation, investing is the only way to build wealth through the power of compounding. The last point I'll make about investing in risk is that there are literally thousands of different investments, all of which vary in risk. Some are more riskier than others. Investing is not just about stocks. There are bonds, there are term deposits, there are mutual funds and ETFs that vary in risk depending on what their underlying investments are. So now have I convinced you that investing is worth the risk? I hope so. Plug your ears, men. Ladies, if you're ready to build your financial freedom framework with me supporting you all the way, and you're sick and tired of spinning your wheels, you're overwhelmed with all the noise and jargon, then I've got the perfect solution for you. Join my free money masterclass, where I'll teach you my 6-step trademark framework on how to retire comfortably. And you'll get an exclusive offer to my online financial program that more than 1,000 women have gone through. I've been in the financial industry for more than 20 years, and I'll teach you everything I know. So if you're ready, head to the show notes and sign up today. You gotta hurry though, because spots are limited. I'll see you on the other side. Mistake number 2. Another common mistake I see people make when it comes to investing is not understanding what their risk tolerance is. And even more important, confusing risk tolerance with risk capacity. So let me explain both. Risk tolerance is your emotional and psychological ability to withstand fluctuations in the price of your investments. So if you're someone who has a high risk tolerance, you'll feel comfortable with the rallies and the corrections, and you probably won't lose a lot of sleep over it. If you're someone with a low risk tolerance, then volatility probably worries you, and you probably want stable and conservative investments. So that's risk tolerance. Risk capacity, on the other hand, is about your ability as an investor to take on risk. In other words, the test is if you can take on a lot of risk and potential losses without jeopardizing your financial well-being or ability to meet your financial goals. If you can, then your risk capacity is high. Now, maybe you have a high risk tolerance and the stock market corrections don't even faze you. But suppose you need the money in the next year to put a down payment on your house or a car, for example. That would mean that your risk capacity is low. So let me explain this a little bit further. Suppose you have $50,000 that's in the stock market, but you need that money for a down payment a year from now. Now, what happens if the market crashes and you actually have to pull that money out and it's only worth $35,000? You're not going to be happy, are you? That's why doing something like that is not a great strategy. And that's why in this case, your capacity to take on risk is low. You know what else isn't a great strategy? Throwing all your money in crypto after you said that you have a low or even a medium risk tolerance. And I know this sounds obvious, but trust me, I've seen so many people do this. They tell me they can't stomach risk, and then they gamble their money. And you know what? It usually doesn't end well for most of them. Now, one more thing. I really need to mention this, because on the flip side, you may say that your risk tolerance is low. and you may be tempted to hide all your money under the mattress. But what if that meant you risk outliving your savings in retirement, or that you're not able to retire at, say, age 65 like you had planned? If you don't need the funds anytime soon and you have savings, your risk capacity is probably higher than your tolerance. The point that I want to make with all of this is that there's usually a balance between the two that you have to think about, and it can change. As you become more financially savvy and confident, and even as your financial circumstances change, so will these. Which leads me to the next most common mistake investors make: thinking that they can time the markets. Oh, I know. Everyone ideally wants to buy when prices are super low and they want to sell when they're sky high. But in reality, that's like trying to hit a moving target blindfolded. You might get lucky once in a while, but most of the time, it's a total guessing game. Plus, it can mess with your emotions and it can really lead to bad decisions. It's much smarter to play the long-term game and diversify your investments so you're not making a big bet on something happening or not happening, because you can't. Even the smartest investors and strategists who live and breathe the markets, they can't do it. That's why they focus on risk management. And one way to manage risk is by spreading out their investments. If these folks do it for a living and have years of studying the markets under their belt, why would you think you can outsmart them? And the fourth mistake that I see investors make that can seriously make or break them, I'm talking the difference between a great retirement and a not so great one, is this: they don't try to minimize the drags on investment returns. I'm going to say that again. They don't try to minimize the drags on investment returns. So what do I mean by that? Well, the power of compounding is powerful. Imagine investing $200 every month for the next 40 years and earning a 7% return. Now, I know returns fluctuate, but just indulge me. I'm trying to show an example in a very, very simple way. So imagine that every year you're in a 7% return. The future value of your investments by doing this would be $1.14 million. Now, if you were to do the same thing, but you earned 5% every year instead, your future value would be $710,000. That's a $430,000 difference. Huge. And yet, that difference between a 7% net return and a 5% net return could be the result of the fees that you're paying on mutual funds or taxes that you pay on your investments if you're not using tax shelters to your advantage. So that's what I mean by drags. The two biggest drags that affect your compounding, assuming that your investments are roughly the same, are taxes and fees. So do your best to lower these. Make sense? Great. Investing is one of the easiest ways to close the wealth gap, and it's also another way to diversify your income stream. Remember that at some point, your ability to earn a salary will slow, and you are going to have to rely on that nest egg of yours. Investing doesn't have to be scary, and you absolutely don't have to blow yourself up. Not if you follow some of these basic rules. I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for your prosperity and health. So thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out my previous weekly insights. And don't forget to listen to my in-depth interviews with some of the brightest minds in finance. If you're looking for saving strategies, investment strategies, mortgage tips, or if you want to learn how to better prepare for retirement and even stick to your financial habits, I've covered it and so, so much more. Hit that subscribe button. And if you know anyone who would benefit from this podcast, please share it. Be well, be wise, and be wealthy. Thanks for tuning in.